Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
On this tremendous Tuesday.
Amen.
You know why it's tremendous? Because we're going to make it tremendous.
You got it, girl.
We have a chance to choose.
We choose.
That's it. Okay. Today's Do Not Fear scripture is Luke 8, verse 50. Luke 8, verse 50. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed."
Hallelujah.
Faith activates the promises.
It does.
Okay, so.
Well, on today's call, we're going to discuss how to be well-pleasing to God. Who do you want to please? Your spouse, mother, father, sister, brother, best friend, neighbors, pastor, employer, or most anybody you meet. Truthfully, there's only one person that you ever need to worry about pleasing.
Or be concerned about pleasing.
Yeah. Because if he's happy, happy, as my mom would say, and well pleased, you can find containment and success. Contentment.
Yeah.
And success in life.
That's it.
What does well pleasing to God really mean? Well-pleasing, according to Strong's Dictionary, Strong's Concordance, is the Greek word G, 2101. 2101, and it comes from two Greek root words. The first root word is G, 2095. G, 2095. It means well-off, farewell, prosper. Same Greek word is used in Matthew 25, 21, which says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou to the joy of the Lord." The second root word comes from Strong's G701. G701, and it means pleasing, agreeable. John 8:29 says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him." The Message Bible translation of John 8:29 says, "The one who sent me stays with me. He doesn't abandon me. He sees how much joy I take in pleasing him." Scripture offers some very basic guidelines on how we can live a life well-pleasing to God. Matthew 11:26, New American Standard. "For this way was well-pleasing to God."
Number one, living your life under authority is well-pleasing to God. Titus 2, verse 9, New American Standard says, "Urge bondservants to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing and not argumentative." The New King James Version says it this way, "Not answering back is well-pleasing to God."
Well,
you know, Lucifer, the devil himself, rejected heavenly authority. He created strife, confusion, by failing to recognize who was in charge, God, God and only God. He is still creating problems by deceptively blurring lines of authority throughout the earth. He does this in the workplace, in churches, and as you well know, in homes. And he uses a lot of different means to do that. He uses television, movies, social issues to just cloud things that take away from the Word of God being practiced. Colossians 3:20, New American Standard says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." This may seem insignificant, but a rebellious people cannot and will never prosper and achieve the quality of life that God envisions for them. And one more word on authority. It's easy to be under authority when everything's looking good. You might say, "Well, of course I'm under authority." But the real measure of obedience to authority comes when you disagree with people that are over you. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17 in the Message Bible says, "Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. This is becoming more and more real these days.
Yes, it is.
Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. We cannot account for what anyone else does, but we can, you know, get, we will, well, we will have to give an account for everything that we think, we say, and we do. And we need to understand this. God created authority, and authority is very important to him.
Absolutely. Number two, living the right kind of life is well-pleasing to God. Romans 12:1, Classic Amplified Bible. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. You know, we love the way the Amplified says, make a decisive dedication, the way it says that in Romans 12. That's the kind of commitment God wants from us. We can assure you that he's not going to listen to excuses about why we didn't fulfill our divine purpose or maximize our time. In fact, on Judgment Day, as he reviews the things in our book of life, he is probably going to ask us a question with seven words. They are, did you do the best you could have done? Did you do the best you could have done? God is the creator of the universe, the Alpha and Omega, and he has even numbered the hairs on your head.
Think of that.
So he will know whether and what you've done and whether it was your best or not. So here's the question. In your workplace environment, have you made a decisive dedication to excellence? Are you totally committed to quality in everything your hands find to do? Have you decided to never settle for less than the best? God wants to bless us beyond measure, but we must live a life that is well-pleasing to him. 2 Corinthians 5:9, New King James says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to God.
Number three, our offerings should be well-pleasing to God. Philippians 4:18, New American Standard says, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. What makes an offering well-pleasing to God? The first thing and foremost is you give what he tells you to give, not more, not less. Whether what we give is big or small in our own eyes, the important thing is to remember to listen to the voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and obey him in the offering. If he drops something in your spirit, you know, there you go. You know what it is. Way too many believers believe in tipping God because they think that they can afford, let's put it this way, that what they afford can afford to sow is what they've always just given, kind of like rote. Oh, I always give this. We need to ask God. Only he knows what you're going to have to reap as a harvest down the road, and he'll help you by showing you what to sow now. We challenge you to think carefully about the three points that we're going to share about giving an offering that is well-pleasing to God.
First, God watches what you give.
That's it.
Mark 12:42. And Jesus said over against the treasury, beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Jesus pulled a chair over where he could get a good view of how much people gave.
Think of that.
Second, he watches how much you give. Mark 12:41-42. And Jesus said over against the treasury, beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Many that were rich in much, and then there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which makes a farthing. God does not tell us to give based on what's in our wallet, pocketbook, checking account, but he does tell us how much to give.
And he watches it too. Third, God brags about givers. Wouldn't that be, isn't it great to think that God could brag on you? Mark 12, verses 43 and 44. Mark 12, 43 and 44. I love the way Jesus brings his disciples into this. And it said, and he called unto them his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all that they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This poor widow, as described in the word, did not give what was convenient or maybe the usual gift. The scripture says here that she cast all, everything she had, not just a little leftover change, but her entire living. No doubt on that day, Jesus observed some folks making large gifts to the treasury, but he only recognized and praised the one who gave what she, all she had, even her life, her living. The one who overlooked every circumstance in her life, who rejected all rationalization and justification for not giving because of her circumstances. The scripture memorializes this poor widow who gave all she had.
Amen. A final word. If you want to have a life worth living, a life well-pleasing to God, then make your offering sweet and acceptable in his sight. We also need to heed the words found in Ephesians 5:10. Ephesians 5:10, which says, in your daily life, make sure you're doing what is well-pleasing to God. Make no mistake, Hebrews 13:21 and the New King James Version says, God wants to make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our goal, our life's purpose, should be to be well-pleasing in his sight. And that will make our Heavenly Father happy, 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 happy.
I want to throw in another. This is very important, too. Understand this. You might say, well, the Lord, he made me, he kind of pressed on me to do $100. So I'm going to do two. Look, even if you increase it, our goal is to do what he said to do. You might say, well, I'll make him even happier if I give more. No, you're going to make him happy if you do what it is that he said for you to do. That's the important part. You know, you might think that it's going to make him happier if you, I'll just do even more. Do what it is that he said to do, and you will always come out ahead.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what authority is all about.
That's it. Happy, happy,
happy.
Not
what we want, but what he wants. Okay.
That's one of my mom's favorite expressions.
Yeah.
Happy, happy, happy.
Because she is happy, happy, happy.
Yes, she is. Well, until tomorrow morning, 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.